Practical. So I'd like you all to have a piece of paper, please, and a pen, and we're going to get the children to come down and join us just before we do this. So if you've got children, if you could take a piece of paper for them too. Luce, would you mind handing pens and paper out? Would someone be willing, Howard, would you be willing to give Luce a hand? So if everyone could have a piece of paper. Yeah, if you want to do it like that, that's fine. Wonderful. Okay. This is my prop, okay, and I also have another prop which turned up this morning and took me by surprise, actually. Okay, I'm going to put that there. Bless you. Okay, so we've been working through this year the Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11. And so we've got verse 20. You don't need to turn there because I won't actually be focusing on that part. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regards to their future. So if you'd like to turn to Genesis 27... I'm going to be looking at the blessing spoken over Jacob in verses 27 to 29. And I'm also going to be making some references to Isaiah 55. So if you want to put a finger in there as well, we'll be returning to that several times. Okay. Okay, so I'll start reading in Genesis 27. From verse 21. Okay, then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near so that I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not." Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy, like those of his brother Esau, so he blessed him. "Are you really my son Esau?" he asked. "I am," he replied. Then he said, "My son, bring me some of your game to eat, so that I may give you my blessing." Jacob brought it to him, and he ate, and he bought some wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him. And I'm going to read you that blessing in a moment. For those of you who don't know, many of you will know this story. Jacob and Isaac were twin brothers. And from the point of their birth, they were in competition. And in actual fact, Jacob and Esau... Esau was born first with Jacob clutching his heel. And all the way through the story in Genesis, you feel this tension between the two brothers. And so when it comes to a time of blessing, with Isaac being old, Jacob's so desperate for this blessing that he dresses himself up like his brother and basically falls his father into giving him this blessing. And so this blessing goes like this. "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you heaven's dew and of earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers. And may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." Okay, it's an incredibly powerful blessing. So as I said, Jacob was a schemer. His name literally means one who deceives. He wanted his father's blessing really badly, and so badly that he's dressed up like his brother, and he cheated his father into giving him the blessing rather than his twin brother Esau. So this would have meant that all his father's material possessions, all the livestock, all the land, all the authority, he would be head over everything. He would be head of the tribe. There were massive physical and spiritual implications in becoming head of the family, chief of the tribe. It all went to the firstborn. Jacob had been born seconds after his brother, holding his heel, and he didn't like being second, and therefore missing out on all this blessing. He understood the power in blessing. Okay. So, I mean, this is also an inherited blessing, the blessing that was spoken over Abraham, his grandfather. You can read that in Genesis 12, verse 3. By the way, I've put the verses up on the PowerPoint so you can record them. It's not necessarily a teaching aid, but if you're wanting to make references and read the verses, they will be up here. So the blessing then over Abraham. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. But I really want to show you the power of blessing, really. So if it says in Hebrews, if faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, then to bless in faith is speaking words in faith that bring life. If we've been created to bring blessing and speak blessing in our world, then as children of the kingdom of God, this is what we must do. So my question really is, do you want some? Really, do you want a share of this? Do you want some blessing? Because like Isaac, we bless by faith. So when Isaac was speaking these words, he was speaking them in faith that the words he had the power to be what they are. I think it's like prayer. Some prayer is difficult, isn't it? Because we think, well, these are just human words. And in the same way that when we speak a blessing, they are just our human words. But if we're speaking them with faith, that they are more than that, then they carry the power of God. So the Lord says that we can have some of this because he has ordained it. And what do I mean by ordained it? So ordained is of God or someone in authority to order something to happen. God's fixed it. He's decreed it. And the Bible shows that it has power. So I've said before that in the Old Testament, we have these physical pictures. And in the New Testament, they have a fulfillment in a spiritual way. Okay, so I want to talk about three powers of blessing. I've divided it into three powers of blessing. There we go. Thank you, Matt. Okay, so I want to talk about the ordained power of blessing. So the blessing that comes because it's the way that God's made it to be. And I want to talk about the creative power of blessing. And I want to talk about a prophetic power of blessing. Okay, so firstly then, the ordained power of blessing. Okay, so I'm going to read from... can you go to the next slide, Matt? There's some verses there. Okay, I want to go to Acts 13. Please. Okay, so a little bit of the backstory of this. The Apostle Paul is travelling around sharing the gospel and really speaking to the Jews and the Gentiles about Jesus being the fulfillment of these ancient promises. So I'll actually read from verse 16 so you can understand the story. Okay, so he's in a place called Pisidian Antioch. I think I've pronounced that right. Standing up, Paul motioned with his hand and said, "Men of Israel and you Gentiles who worship God." Okay, so they've got the Jewish people and the Gentiles. So the Gentiles would be the people that aren't Jewish by birth. Okay, that's the Gentiles, us. Okay. Men of Israel, and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. The God of the people of Israel chose our fathers. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. With mighty power, he led them out of that country. He endured their conduct for about 40 years in the desert. He overthrew seven nations in Canaan and gave their land to his people as their inheritance. All this took about 450 years, and you can read these stories in the Old Testament. After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel the prophet. Okay, again, you can read these stories as Paul is summarizing through the Old Testament to show the Gentiles how Jesus is the fulfillment of these blessings. Then the people asked for a king, and he gave them Saul, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled for 40 years. After removing Saul, he made David their king, and we know the stories of King David. And he testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. From this man's descendants, God has brought to Israel the Saviour Jesus, as he promised. Before the coming of Jesus, John preached repentance, John the Baptist, and baptism to all the people of Israel. As John was completing his work, he said, Who do you think I am? I am not the one. No, but he is coming after me, whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He's talking about Jesus. Brothers, children of Abraham, and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent. The people of Jerusalem and their rulers did not recognize Jesus, yet in condemning him, they fulfilled the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath. Though they found no proper ground for a death sentence, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people. We tell you the good news, what God has promised our fathers, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus, as it is written in the second Psalm, You are my son, today I have become your father. In the fact that God raised him from the dead, never to decay, is stated in these words, I will give you the holy and sure blessings promised to David. So these are these blessings that were promised to the children of Israel have come to us through Jesus. Okay? So God has a plan and has always had a plan that he's carrying out. When you read Acts 13, you can see how these blessings have come to us, God-fearing Gentiles. The Apostle Paul explains to the men of Pisidian Antioch how this is. How blessings spoken over King David have prophetic reverberations into the new covenant. It was always to be this way. It is the ordained will of God. And these words that Paul quotes here, I will give you the holy and sure blessings promised to David, are found in Isaiah 55. And can we go to those verses, Matt? That's the next slide, I think. Okay. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and a commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. What an incredible blessing that's being spoken over us. This is us. That's amazing. So Paul explains this very carefully to the Jews and the Gentiles present, how Jesus is this fulfillment. And he's the fulfillment of the story of Israel, how he was crucified, then raised from the dead to prove who he was and who he said he was, and to make it possible for you and me to become daughters and sons of the living God. Yes, fantastic. And so therefore we come into this inheritance. And the inheritance is the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the blessing. And the Holy Spirit is in our inheritance. God told Abraham that the peoples of the earth will be blessed through him, so that we will, so that we see this inherited blessing come down through history, and we are enjoying it, aren't we? So the ordained power of blessing then is the fact that God decreed that we would inherit through Jesus' resurrection. Then through the Holy Spirit, we bless by faith because we have the power of the Holy Spirit. He has ordained that we carry that power. Fantastic. Okay, so now to my visual aid. And so as I go through the next part, I'm going to talk about the creative power of blessing. Okay, and so I want my visual aid. This is, it's not very abundant, I know, because when I went to the field, they'd already cut it with a combine harvester, and so there wasn't a great deal left. And not having a combine harvester and feeling I didn't want to take all these wonderful crops. So if you can imagine, this is a great sheaf of, we've got a bit of barley and a bit of wheat there. And also, I'm going to be talking about wine as well, because in that blessing is wine. And so I want you to see this picture of abundance. Okay, and so I'm going to be talking about God's abundant blessing in a bit. So I want to talk about the creative power of blessing. Okay, so when God speaks, it has creative power. Okay, and we know that when we read Genesis, we see God's voice bringing life. Okay, and so as Isaac spoke these words of blessing over Jacob, it was bringing life. It had creative power. I love the part in C.S. Lewis's book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. There's a part where the lion returns and he breathes on the statues and he brings them to life. I think it's a beautiful picture of the life that comes from the voice of God. Okay, and we get a glimpse of that in creation. Jesus says, "Let there be light." And there is light. It has creative power. When he speaks, things are, things be. And I also wanted to make a reference to the story of Job, actually, because when you read the latter chapters of Job, if you've ever read if you've ever read Job, in chapter 38, you get this conversation between Job and God, and you get this wonderful sense of God saying to Job, brace yourself like a man, stand up, let me tell you who I am. And he says, where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? You know, and you sort of tremble in the presence of God when you read those latter chapters of Job. I'd encourage you to read them because it gives you a fantastic glimpse of the might and the creative power of God as he speaks things into being. So if God speaks a blessing, it has creative power. And if we who are filled with God's Spirit say, may God bless you richly, then surely those words have authority, God's authority and God's power. And when we speak words of blessing, we are exposing people to the kingdom of God. And this is an abundant kingdom, okay? This is an abundant kingdom. So I want to focus on, really, we could probably spend weeks on this blessing and its implications, but we don't have that much time. So I'm just going to just focus on, may God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine, okay? So this is not a half-hearted blessing from God. This is an abundant outpouring from heaven on us, God's people, blessed with a promise. So in the same way that he has spoken this blessing to Abraham, which was passed to Isaac, then Jacob, the blessings have this creative power that we have inherited. These blessings promise abundance, which then flows out from us into the worlds. Okay, if God said, let there be light, and there was light, then if he says there's to be abundance, then there's going to be abundance.
Rain.
Yeah, bring the rain. does this make sense? Am I?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so God speaks things into being. So people will be blessed, and there will be an abundance of grain and new wine. And when I say grain, okay, we're talking about a physical picture in the Old Testament. So in a New Testament way, in a new covenant way, when we say grain and a harvest, we're talking about a harvest of souls. We're talking about people coming into his kingdom, aren't we? We're talking about a spiritual harvest. And when we say wine, we're talking about a flow of the Holy Spirit. New wine. There's a wonderful blessing in Malachi where God says, can we go to the next? Malachi 3, verses 9 to 10, where God is talking to his people about bringing their tithes into the storehouse. And he says, test me in this. See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room for it. Okay, this blessing seems to come with a bit of a condition, doesn't it? About surrendering to God. So God's abundant blessing then. Let's look at a few verses of God's abundant blessing. 1 John 3 verse 1 says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us. This is not just a bit. This is a lavishing. This is God's lavishing his love on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. His love is outrageous. It breaks cultural barriers and upsets the status quo. When you read stories of Jesus in the Gospels, we see him eating with tax collectors. And tax collectors in the olden days were notorious for being honest. And they worked for the Romans. And people hated them. So they were actually culturally, people didn't want to spend time with tax collectors. And the way that he spent time with adulterous women. And these were cultural taboos in Jesus' time. And he still loves to break those cultural taboos, doesn't he? By loving the unlovely and the outcasts of society and healing the sick. Jesus' death on the cross was the most disgusting, cruel death anyone can endure. And the Bible says that he endured that death so that we could have life. This is outrageously abundant blessing, isn't it? So it's an outrageous blessing for us. Ephesians 1, got that up there. Ephesians 1, verse 3 says, praise be to God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. So Paul is talking about spiritual blessing rather than material blessing here. I need you to get this clear, okay? Because I think it's really important that we can get into a human way of thinking that that preaches that if we're good, we'll be blessed. Okay? If we're good and we do good, then God will bless us. And that but when bad stuff happens, that God doesn't love us. Okay? We need to be really clear on this, actually. And I think that we can get into a bit of a muddle of thinking that way. So we need to think spiritually, don't we? I know some people do preach a prosperity gospel, okay? Now, God does bless physically too and give people earthly riches too, but that is because God wants to do that, not anything to do. Do you understand? It's not anything to do with anything we've earned, okay? So I'm talking about a spiritual blessing here. And this is what Paul is talking about. He's talking about blessing us with every spiritual blessing. Okay? An overflow of God's grace. Okay? So it's really important that if we miss this, we can become religious and self-reliant. Okay? So we need to understand that this is, I'm talking about spiritual blessings here. And his abundant love is for anyone who accepts it. And Isn't that wonderful? Okay. So I said keep your finger in Isaiah 55. Okay, the beginning verses there. Oh, hang on. I just want to pick up on Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Yeah. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all you are weary and all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Isn't that beautiful? Okay, and the first verses of Isaiah 55 then. Come to me, all you are who are thirsty. Come to the waters, and you will have, you who have no money. Come, buy and eat. Beautiful. This just, can you just hear the abundance here? This is not just a bit here and a bit here. This is an outpouring of God's abundant blessing. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. God is abundantly lavish in forgiveness. Verse 55 in Isaiah 55 says, let the wicked forsake his thoughts and let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. Okay, this is speaking of a lavishness in forgiveness. Jesus' act of sacrifice is the perfect, ultimate act of lavish grace. Those who deserved it most getting off scot-free. Jesus showing total love by laying his life down for the ones he loves. If you want it, it's free. And I just really want to ask you this morning, I know most of you in here, and I want to just say, are you satisfied? Are you satisfied with your life? Because he can give you satisfaction. And I guarantee, if you're not sure this morning, that if you bow the knee to the King of Kings and decide to follow him, repent of the wrong things that you've done and follow him, accept that his death on the cross was for you and for your sin, and that he loves you, you will be satisfied. And you can respond to him for the first time this morning if you like that. We'd love to pray with you at the end. Or as sons and blessed children, how do we respond? We've got a job to do, haven't we? We bring blessing to the world. When Abraham was called by God, there was that promise. Okay, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Okay, well done, Matt. He's always one step ahead. Okay, so continuing on in Isaiah 55 then. Starting at verse 10. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so my word goes out from my mouth. Okay, we've been talking about that word. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God speaks these blessings, and it will be. So I've got some barley and some wheat here, and God promises in Genesis that we will see an abundance of grain and new wine. And I want it to be a picture for you of God's abundance, but also his promise. Okay. So when a farmer gets his bag of seed, does the farmer say, I command you in the name of Jesus, grow? No, he doesn't. He sows it, doesn't he? Because he knows when he plants it in the ground, it will grow. And God's made it that way. And when it comes to sharing the gospel, we have a responsibility to plant the seed and the promise from God here as that it will grow. And the promise is that it won't return to him empty. We can't force it. We have to plant it. Prepare the soil and plant, and we will enjoy the harvest because God said we will. barley and wheat, as I said before, and wine are pictures, they're physical pictures of something that's spiritual. So God's promising, so this is a prophetic picture, isn't it? God's promising an abundance in harvest, the grain being seeds of the gospel that brings more seed, the new wine could be seen as a move of the Spirit. We're praying for revival. And verse 11 says, "My word will not return to me empty." I just love this because it's a promise that the blessings will be effective. The word in the original language actually is fantastic. It says, in the same way that the word is used in Samuel, and it describes a bloodied sword not being satisfied. In 2 Samuel 1 verse 22, it says, "From the blood of the slain, from the flesh of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan did not return back. The sword of Saul did not return unsatisfied." It's interesting that this word in Isaiah is used to refer to a sword not returning to its sheath without having drawn blood. God's word is described as a sword, isn't it? And his word not returning to him empty, and it's used in this picture here of a bloodied sword not returning, having slain. It's a gruesome picture, but it's a very powerful picture, isn't it? And this should encourage us, really, because it's our faltering words that will bring him glory. So the prophetic power of blessing, then. Can we just go to the next? Is there a next? Yes. Thank you, Matt. The gift of prophecy is one of the spiritual gifts described in the book of 1 Corinthians in verse 2. So in verse 2 of chapter 14, it says that we should eagerly desire this gift. And we've probably talked about this quite a lot over the last few years, and I think it's really important that we get this. And Paul, in his letter, he says that he desires that all should prophesy. So that doesn't mean that we should all be great prophets, but we should all be able to discern God's voice and obey and see what he's doing, so that when we encourage a brother or sister, it comes with the prophetic power of the voice of God. Paul says that this gift is for the building up of the church. Okay, so maybe we know a little bit about blessing and cursing, and I just want to speak briefly on it. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 19, he says very famously to Peter, he says, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." The Bible says that when we curse things, things can get bound up. And when you become bitter and say rude things to people and about people, it's like locking them up spiritually. And also locks you up on the inside. It's quite shocking when you think about it, isn't it? The power that we have to bind things and release things. And some people live and live their whole lives in the light of bad things that have been spoken over them. I think this is really, really important. And we can seek freedom from those things. And we have the power to bind the unhelpful things and also pray release and blessing over strongholds and things, so we can bind strongholds and bring blessings that bring release to people that have been bound up. And we need to be careful how we use our words. And the Bible tells us that when we bring words of prophecy, we need to love people first. The Bible is full of beautiful promises and blessings about you. Okay. So when we bless, then, we bless by faith. So Isaac blessed Jacob in faith, and this is what we need to do. So we've had the ordained power of blessing. This is God given, God ordained. You will be blessed, you will be a blessing, you will be my witnesses, you will have authority, you will see abundance. God has designed it to be this way. That's ordained power of blessing. Creative power In the same way that God speaks things into being, we have this creative power in us to speak things into being. So in the same way that God has spoken things into being, we by the Holy Spirit have inherited the power to speak things into being. And we have seen this with people getting healed this year, haven't we? It's been amazing. And we have a prophetic power to our blessings. God gives us gifts which allows us to hear his voice and see what he's doing and speak words of encouragement that build up the church and point her in the right direction. So Isaac blessed Jacob in faith, and he trusted that the words he spoke were God's words, and therefore his blessing had all these things that I have spoken about. Okay, can we have... I did prep them to be down about 1:45. Okay, so we're going to do a... oh, they're waiting. Wonderful, bless you. Okay, so you've all got a bit of paper here. So children, we've got some bits of paper and we've been talking about blessings, okay? And so what I'd really like you to do is we're going to have a moment of quiet. Maybe Sam could just... Do you want to just get up and just strum for a bit? And based on what you've heard this morning, I'd just like you to prayerfully write a blessing down on the bit of paper, and maybe you could help your children write a blessing. Now, if you're a bit worried about what to write, the Bible is full of promises and blessings. Maybe you just want to look in the Psalms and find a verse in a psalm that is a blessing. And what I'd really like you to do is actually share it with someone. So when we're quiet for a moment, we will just pray. And maybe you'll have a word of encouragement for someone or a blessing that you'd like to speak over someone. Okay. Okay, I'm just going to give you a few little guidelines, okay, about this blessing that you're going to speak over someone. Okay, number one, it's got to be encouraging. Okay, it's not going to be, thus says the Lord. Okay, this is encouragement. And this gift of prophecy is for building up of the church, okay? It's got to be kind. And it's got to be loving, okay? Paul's very clear in Corinthians that we love people before we do anything, okay? Okay, so I'll pray for a bit in a moment, and I'll ask God to inspire your words. It could simply be, the Lord make you grow strong in faith. Okay, that's a blessing because you're speaking these words of blessing. Okay? Or it could say, may you receive spiritual blessings over the coming year. Okay, it could be as simple as that. That's a beautiful blessing to speak over someone. You could get a bit more specific if you feel inspired, and maybe you know someone who's good at sharing the gospel, and you could say, the Lord give you victory this week as you share the good news with someone. Okay, how about that? So it's good to use words of scripture, and because the Bible is full of beautiful encouragements, and because they're God's words anyway, we know it's safe, right? Okay, so let me just pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you spoke those words of blessing so many years ago, and that we are inheritors of that blessing, and that because we've inherited that blessing of abundance, we too can bless with your authority and your power. And Lord, I just really pray as we just spend a few moments thinking now that you'll inspire us with beautiful words of blessing that we can share with one another. And Lord, I just also want to pray for anyone here who has heard, maybe for the first time, or maybe just spoken to the first time about coming into your kingdom, Lord. And I just really ask, Lord, that they will think seriously about what we've spoken about today, about you on the cross. And for the first time, maybe they just need to bow the knee to you and say, Lord, I want that blessing. I want some of that. I'm not satisfied with my life. I want you. I want you to bring me satisfaction. Or maybe that person that is taking first steps and accepted you as their saviour, but hasn't quite discovered that satisfaction and that blessing. Lord, I just really pray in your name, Jesus, that you will touch them and let them hear your voice, that call this morning to come. Those that are weary, to come and have rest and taste. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. So we'll draw things informally. I was going to draw things to a close. Bob's got something to share. Go for it. Thank you.
Yes. You know that I was baptized last Sunday. I was baptized last Sunday, and it was a truly wonderful day for me. But what happened this week was something I didn't expect. And people have told me this morning, well, yes, that always happens. You should expect that. Because instead of the Lord speaking to me this week, the devil's been having a go at me. And he's been nibbling away at me all this week. And thankfully, with Paul's wisdom, I'd got the armour of the Lord and the flaming sword of the Holy Spirit to fight with. But it's been a hard week. He's been nibbling away. And this morning, when I woke up, the sun was shining, and I said, Lord, it's over, because this is Sunday, and I'm going to our church, and I just know that when I get to church, the family will raise me up when I'm down. And that's exactly what's happened. As soon as I arrived at church today, I felt the power of the Lord in this family, in our family. And that rotten old devil, he lost, and the power of the Lord in this family won. I just wanted to share.
Bless you, Bob. Okay. Yeah, I'm just going to close with a prayer, and thank you for sharing that, Bob. It's so powerful. Oh, Lord, thank you for all the words that have been written down this morning and handed to one another, and the words that have been shared with one another. And Lord, we just really want to pray for your anointing and your Lord, if there's seeds, that they'll go deep and grow life, and Lord, that you'll anoint them and bless them. Lord, I thank you that you have ordained it that they bring life, Lord. And Lord, I thank you that none of these words will return to you empty, Lord, that they'll bring new life. And Lord, I thank you that these words will have been spoken with a prophetic edge, Lord. And Lord, if there's things that are talking about the future in these words, Lord, let it be. Let it be. Thank you, Lord. I just really want to pray for your protection over all these words too, and about all the things that people have shared with each other this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your wonderful life, your life-giving words. In Jesus' name, amen. We've got tea and coffee, guys. Please continue to be family. If you've got words that you still want to encourage each other with, please do. Yes, if we could have the pens back in the box, please. And bless you. Have a wonderful week. Have a wonderful week.